the Senate, and been disappointed that the full support of the Senate does not accompany these recommendations. In light of the very close vote of the Senate and the support voiced for those recommendations by many bodies consulted by the Stewarding Excellence process, however, I believe the clear basis for closing the Institute and discontinuing the undergraduate academic programs compels us to sponsor these recommendations despite the absence of a favorable Senate majority vote.
Thank you, Bob. That was incredibly helpful in terms of giving us some context for your recommendation and how you and the other members of the leadership team, including Dick Wheeler, came to that conclusion. So I appreciate that. At this point, does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask, comments they'd like to make?
Yeah, what is the total tuition cost for the academic program and the flight training program for a student coming in to the program currently?
Let me ask Dr. Wheeler. He would be able to answer that. I believe the case is yes. Dick, would you respond to that question?
I didn't get the whole question.
What does it cost for a student enrolling in the academic baccalaureate program and the flight training program on an annual basis? What tuition must he pay? And cost?
How much are the flight fees?
Tuition and fees.
I guess I don't understand the whole process. So whatever the costs are that are incurred by the student.
That's BS.
A student who enrolls in this program would pay tuition bill like any other student. And then they would pay additional fees to cover the cost of flight training. I believe those fees total about $32,000, but we can check the summer manual to get a confirmation of that.
Each student pays a separate flight fee of between $4,000 to $5,000 per course, which is normally one course per semester, to cover the cost of operation, maintenance, fueling, and eventual replacement of the aircraft.
And the other question is, what does it cost the university to maintain the program, faculty, cost of equipment, et cetera? Is that the $750,000 number?
That would be the savings.
I see.
I might just add a piece. Many of the courses that these students take are actually not taught within the Institute, but their courses taught elsewhere on campus. And there's a sense that that's a cost that we haven't accounted for in this process. Our normal process of allocating, and if you're a student enrolled in a particular department in a particular college, the expectation is that over time, most of your tuition would flow to that unit to defer those costs, because most of your instruction would occur in that unit. In this case, I believe, Dr. Wheeler, it's the case that a substantial amount of the instruction is occurring elsewhere on campus.
I guess the other question was, is there any explanation for the decline in demand for the program that you're aware of?
That's a challenging question, because the expectation is that there will be significant demand for new pilots in the next several years. I think one of the challenges that we face is because of the competition for a seat on our campus, academic standards are very high. So there's a sense among many students that they can't qualify for admission to the University of Illinois. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have. Our commitment to continue to explore other educational opportunities, and quite frankly, I think it's now in the public domain that this is with a local community college, that would still provide an opportunity for our own students to take flight courses through that program. It would also provide an opportunity for those students who might not, as freshmen, qualify for admission to perform well in that setting and then apply for transfer into the university at the end of their first or second year.
Question, in some of the information that we received prior to this, is an indication that the FAA is planning to invest $11 million in replacing the control tower at Willard, and that this may jeopardize that plan. Any thoughts as to the relevance of that?
Dr. Wheeler spoke with the officials at FAA. Dick, could you respond to that?
Actually, the people who work on the Stewarding Excellence Report studied this pretty extensively. Their conclusion was that the likelihood is that opening the institute will not affect the operations at the airport at all. My understanding is that the FAA primarily looks at enplanements and not landings and departures, so it's the commercial piece of the airport that is actually an issue here, and that will not be changed.
Have our peer universities also experienced a decline in applications, enrollments, and also is this academic profile that we've experienced, has that been experienced by other schools?
The other, Purdue, as I'm sure you're aware, has a robust program, as does Southern Illinois University, the other four-year program in the state. And I'm not aware that they've experienced the declines that we have. I've not asked specifically that question, but I'm not aware that they have. I did speak to the provost at SIU about the future of their program, and at this point, the indication was that they're planning to continue to operate it. That's at the Carbondale campus. Purdue program exists within a college of technology, and you may have noticed that earlier in the comments I spoke to that. It's something that that we have thought of from time to time rather seriously, and that is to have a entity on the campus which would provide high-level technical skills training as opposed to more of the academic-based training. We don't have that opportunity, and as I indicated, Provost Katehi in her tenure looked very seriously at that, having come from that experience at Purdue, and concluded that we didn't have the resources to move in that direction. Not to digress, but I think it is an area that we may want to continue to think about as we go into the future, not just for this, but in many other areas of technology.
I want to follow back up on one of your comments as you laid out kind of where it goes from here, was a potential of a trial partnership to explore the potential of University of Illinois students to get flight training in conjunction with it. Thinking about assuming that someone else picks up flight training at Willard and then do relationships. So the students would still be students of the University of Illinois, but could get flight training in that relationship?
We regularly have students who enroll in courses at community colleges, either during the summer, and in the case locally, they will enroll in a class that they perhaps can't get scheduled at Parkland locally, and then transfer that credit in. There are limits to how much is allowed, but this would, I think, be very feasible.
Of the students who are pursuing training towards professional pilot, in other words, you know, the full gamut of flight training offered, I believe not all of them are necessarily majors in human factors. In fact, some of them are enrolled at different colleges. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you have any idea of the percentage?
I don't. Tom, could you respond to that?
Between 10-15% of our students in the aviation program at any given time are majoring in one of the other colleges, and there's also transfer back and forth.
Okay, so the majority are in the human factors program.
In the aviation factors major, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I think historically, actually, and Tom may want to correct me, for most of the history of the program, they were students elsewhere on campus that took the aviation courses. Is that the case until the degree was created?
Yes, historically, the majority of the students were essentially double majors in aviation and something else, completed a degree elsewhere. But the Educational Policy Committee about 11 years ago approved that aviation and factors baccalaureate degree, and it's become quite popular. Frankly, the reason for the lack of demand has been some capping that has been done by administration, and also if the middle of the economy is an extremely expensive education. But the demand, literally right around the corner, since the forced retirement age of U.S. airline pilots just jumped from 60 to 65.